Ladies and gentlemen, pay attention. This is your boy, the coach from the WWE. I would like to welcome you to the very first wrestling podcast in the world to take you on a weekly deep dive in the classic matches along with legends of the squared circle. Enjoy the discussion. Enjoy the back and forth. There's so much to get into. Ladies and gentlemen, this is The Payoff.
Oh yeah, Jeff, it's an all new episode of The Payoff. I'm Tom, and you're Jeff. Oh yeah.
That was really good. That was really good.
I'm not good at impressions or voices or any of that stuff. In fact, I'm terrible at it, accents. But I think my Macho Man's pretty good.
You pulled that one off pretty good, yeah.
Between about 6 to 10 beers, it's off the charts.
Well, yeah, of course. You gotta have a couple in you. And then it's a couple, a pack of Slim Jims, and you can do anything you want. You know, you take over the world. So
we're going way back in the vault here.
Way back. It's rare for us to go back this far.
34 years ago.
Crazy. I know.
God.
Yep.
So why did you pick this one?
SummerSlam numero uno. Like, how could you not? Like, we always talk about on this show, like, you know, kind of going back, seeing some of those original stuff. Like, this is a time frame that we just haven't been to too much. And so, you know, I feel like you and I always love those like mid late 90s and stuff like that, even the kind of early 2000s, but most of the 90s. But so this is one that just hard to kind of overlook when you're looking at SummerSlam and this being, you know, the first ever one, you know, who knew like what it was going to happen and stuff like that. There was a lot of, you know, territory dealings and kind of trying to overtake some of that, which is why we kind of had this. And so, just a lot of reasons to cover this one. And who doesn't like talking about, you know, these guys in the match? Like, absolutely. Like, you're talking, we have risen to the top on this one. Like, absolutely. And so with, you know, these four competitors. So just exciting to talk about.
I'm pumped, man. I'm really looking forward to this one. So may not be a five-star classic, but it's going to be a fun one to watch.
Well, let's take us to MSG. Let's do this one.
All right, let's get into the build.
Oh, it's time for the build.
You're right, man. MSG, 1988. God, August 29th. Mega powers, mega bucks. I mean, it's built around that match, right? I think a lot of times, you know, they'd have not a ton of matches on it, 10 matches on this, but some of these shows, they'd get 12, 15 matches, but it was always really built around the main event. You know, this show is very noteworthy for two main reasons. We'll get into the other one other than the main event here in a second, but the first match, can you believe this? A 20-minute time limit draw. I didn't even know they were doing time limit draws during this era. British Bulldogs and Fabulous Rougeaus. God forbid one of those two teams took the pin.
And one of the highlighted matches on this one, too. Yeah.
No title. Just 20-minute time limit draw to start. I mean, you sit down, you're excited. First, you know, Madison Square Garden, first SummerSlam, pay-per-view. 20-minute time limit draw. I mean, even in this era, I think that people will be like, oh, okay. Bad News Brown defeats Ken Patera in 6 minutes. Rick Rude defeats the Junkyard Dog by DQ, 6 minutes. Powers of Pain, Warlord and I almost said Wardlow. Warlord and Barbarian defeated the Bolsheviks, 5-minute tag match. Then, Jeff, the other noteworthy thing on this show, the Ultimate Warrior. Surprise opponent.
Great.
The Honky Tonk Man. The place goes bananas. Go back and watch this if you haven't seen it in a while.
You could literally watch it like sitting in a long drive-through line. Like, just like so good. Like the pop. Oh, I love it.
Warrior defeats the Honky Tonk Man, ends this really long IC title reign. Man, just incredible. Dino Bravo is going to defeat Don Morocco in 5 minutes. Demolition is going to retain the tag titles against the Hart Foundation in 10 minutes. The Big Boss Man is going to defeat Coco Beware in 5 minutes. Your boy.
Thank God.
Heel yep. Big Boss Man.
Yep, that's all right.
Jake Roberts defeats Hercules in 10 minutes. And then the reason we're here, Mega Powers, Mega Bucks, Jesse Ventura is the special guest ring, special guest referee. Virgil and Bobby Heenan ringside. Elizabeth ringside. Man,
well, what so could you ask for? Like,
yeah.
The star
ratings for this show. Every match sucked. So this is more about the storylines and the characters than the matches. We'll leave it at that.
Yeah.
Lot to unpack here, Jeff. How do we get to this match?
Yeah. So this one, in the kind of lead up to this, you had, at the time, you had Hogan, and then the heavyweight champion was actually Randy Savage. Obviously your top faces, like, and they had just been feuding with Andre and Ted DiBiase. And so, it was actually WrestleMania 4. You had the vacated, WWF heavyweight championship. There was a 14 man single elimination tournament to crown the new champ. And so you had Hogan and Andre, disqualified in their match. And then you had, Savage and DiBiase reaching the championship final match. And so, of course, Savage beating DiBiase, you got a little bit of help from Hogan on that one too. And so, really Savage and DiBiase were just kind of in a feud all summer long, really spring and summer. You had eventually Andre getting involved. It was actually an attack on Savage as he was delivering a promo with these guys, kind of coming after him. And so, this was back in the day, like surprise partners, Savage saying that they were going to have a match, but that, Andre and DiBiase are against Andre and DiBiase, and that his partner would eventually be named later. And so, of course, as we can see from the match's title and what kind of happened here, Hogan, being the partner, that would be, teaming up with him, becoming the Mega Powers. After that, this is when you get, Andre and DiBiase, naming themselves the Mega Bucks. And so, they were the ones actually that called for the special guest referee. They wanted someone fair and neutral. If you remember though, Jesse Ventura, not the most straight shooter down the line, heel face commentator. And so, for them saying they want someone, to be fair, of course, call it straight down the line. Jesse Ventura, not necessarily a great choice for Hogan and Savage, but, for the heels on this one, definitely, getting a good choice on that. So of course, probably only second to Gorilla Monsoon, everyone's favorite WWF president, Jack Tunney, saying, yep, let's do that. And so, making the match official with Jesse Ventura as a special guest referee of the Mega Power versus the Mega Bucks. And so, at the time, like, it's all I've got. At the time, you didn't really need much more than that. You had, like we said, in like weeks previous, but especially last week, like, if you got characters that everybody is invested in, this is all you need. And you had four of the biggest characters ever on the stage here on your first ever. And I'll talk a little bit about the history of SummerSlam as we're getting into the match here, but your inaugural, your first annual, whatever you want to call it, SummerSlam, now taking place with these teams. So that's exciting stuff though. Yeah.
Really fun. I just love it. Love it. Again, we're never going to go back to this era. It is what it is, but man, to really build this stuff up methodically, to have a couple Saturday nights main events and a couple big pay-per-views. God, it was fun to be able to tell stories and see this stuff play out.
Mm-hmm. Yep, absolutely.
You ready for it?
I'm actually super excited about this one.
Me too.
I know we've had some kind of some middle grade matches the last couple of weeks or some stuff, but this one is one that I am pumped to get into.
2 hour, 11 minute mark of SummerSlam 1998, season one. 2 hours, 11 minutes. Jeff, are you ready?
Let's do it, man.
All right. It's time for the payoff.
Oh, it's time for the payoff.
I don't know what he's doing. He's got
Jesse wearing his whatever that apparatus is. He's got a baggy white shirt on. I guess he kind of looks like a referee. DiBiase. Heels and Tyler Andre the Giant. He's not moving around too great, but Tad's in good spot for him. Savage and Hogan both want to start off.
Trying to decide who's going first here,
yep. Wearing Hogan's ring gear with mega powers on the back.
Letting him out, yep.
That's one of my favorite shirts to wear to wrestling events is the old school mega powers.
T-shirt. Mega powers, yep.
Fantastic. So Savage and Andre started off.
Yep. So this one, I will say we haven't done too many. We need to do some more Million Dollar Man matches. And so he was one I was big. Yep. Oh, so like this is and he has said it like you know that his just kind of not only what he did in the ring, but behind the scenes, he's been, you know, WWE. I don't know if he's currently employed, but he was for a very long time. Like just a great mind. And like literally he could come out and do the laugh at any point. And like he had that great little what was its story for a while there with Cameron Grimes and stuff and NXT. And so that
yeah,
like,
was really
for good. The million, like you and I love that story. That was great. And so, so you got fast tags here. Yep. You got Hogan now coming in. Okay. Take on DiBiase at this point. Yep. Other than like, you got the Warrior, maybe Jake the Snake, but, I would put, you know, for most of these people, you got like four Mount Rushmore guys in the ring. Would you disagree with any of them?
No. I mean, you're DiBiase, one of the greatest heels ever, iconic character, Andre, Savage Hogan. I mean, Savage and Hogan to me, I mean, you know, look, they're two of my all time favorites. I just put that display in my basement with the title and
yes, you know, yeah. I enjoyed that photo. Yep.
Yeah. I mean, it's when you see it in person, you're going to be like, wow, that's pretty bad.
Yeah.
But it's my favorite six wrestlers all wearing what they're wearing during my favorite six moments of theirs. So yep. Savage and Hogan are both on that for me. I think Savage, and I've said this before, he's terribly underrated, Jeff.
I mean, oh yeah.
His yep. in-ring work, incredible. The character, the promo, you know, he's just underrated. I mean, he has some incredible WrestleMania matches and moments. I think I just really wish Savage, you know, he had a long run in WCW, but God, he didn't really do anything memorable there. And I wish he somehow would have been able to stay in the WWF. I wish he wouldn't have been banished to commentary if he could have kept wrestling. And then, you know, okay, Attitude Era, it's not going to be the 1980s Macho Man, but you update the character. Like, I think sometimes you forget, like, it's easy to be like, oh, well, you know, Hogan couldn't have been in the Attitude Era and, you know, Savage couldn't have and Warrior couldn't have. Well, no, the 1991 Ultimate Warrior could not have feuded with Stone Cold Steve Austin. But dude, maybe he's in all black. Maybe he changes his ring gear. Maybe he cuts his hair. I mean, you know, The Undertaker did it. You know, that's what we forget about is, you know, we forget that The Undertaker reinvented himself, changed everything, and he fit the Attitude Era. And then he fit Ruthless Aggression and he fit in now. How's that possible? Well, because you change yourself. And so I'm not going to write someone off as saying, oh, Savage and the Attitude Era wrestling against Stone Cold, that would never work. Why not? Why not as a heel that worked a certain style? Could that not have worked?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and this is the Macho that like, you know, we know the behind the scenes stuff, but man, like once he was in the ring, like you couldn't look away. Like, you know, there was just so much good stuff there. Kind of what was happening. You got Elizabeth up there looking fantastic on the outside. You had Bobby the Brain kind of distracting a little bit here too. And so, yeah, all these guys, like just kind of then you're talking about Macho. Okay. That's a person. Macho. Like $1 million for me is someone that's underrated as well too. Like, you know, just, you know, the way he moved, I always, that kind of stiff fall over that he did just a little bit ago, as I remember vividly kind of growing up as well too. Like it's just, you know, all these guys, it's, you know, at this time in 1988, like didn't get much better than this. I don't know how you could make it better than this. So how about a little SummerSlam history for you? We're at the first one. I wanted to let people know. So this was the kind of back and forth of WWF at the time, of course, kind of taking on NWA, Jim Crockett, all that. And so after the successful Starrcade pay-per-view at the time, you had then the creation of WrestleMania. You also then had Survivor Series coming because, you know, it airing the same day as Starrcade. And then you had the Royal Rumble, which was the same day as the Jim Crockett Bunkhouse Stampede. And so this was kind of the summer show, if you will, to really just capitalize on the pay-per-view and like how well they was doing or how well they were doing. This was after the kind of closed circuit. And so, you know, kind of different times and things like that. And so, at the time, this, it was the biggest party of the summer is how they dubbed this one. And so, and of course, you can discuss it now, you know, big four, but SummerSlam was, and I would disagree with this now, but SummerSlam was the number two show behind WrestleMania for a very long time. You know, not to say that it doesn't have the kind of splendor that it does, but, you know, for a while there was also the big five. You had King of the Ring to it. I would say that the Rumble for me is, high. I would do Rumble and then, or excuse me, Mania and then Rumble if I was ranking them at this point. But it was really born of making sure that NWA would fail and that they would take them over at that point. So, you know, just kind of excited. You also had the you know, just the back and forth. You had Clash of Champions and all these different pay-per-views. So, you know, who knows where we would have been if we didn't have, you know, these kind of the pay-per-view becoming a thing and these guys trying to really one up themselves, you know, and kind of do better every single time. And SummerSlam kind of that lull of, you know, what we get. And now we've got SummerSlam every year.
It would have been fun to have someone do like a unbiased documentary of all of that.
Yeah.
But who's going to do it? How are you going to get all the key players to be interviewed for it? I swear, dude, if I had all the money in the world and I could just do whatever I want, and maybe I'd regret saying this and hate it, but it's like, I'd love to just make documentaries. I think that would be fun as shit.
Right. The Dark Side of the Ring guys got it right. Yeah, absolutely. Like just kind of traveling and.
But they probably tell you they made no money and they worked their asses off and they didn't get their contract. I mean, I guess they got, they're on with, are they on with the WWE now?
Or I don't even
know. I thought they signed with the WWE to do like a WWE version of like that. Like, I don't know. So it's a grind, but it's probably one of those things that looks really fun and it's horrible to do and really, really tough. And mm-hmm. I have a ton of respect for them. I think that's gotta be a grind to get these interviews with these guys, shooting all that B-roll footage, you know, the interviews and editing that stuff. I mean, what do you do? Think about that. You do these like four hour interviews with everyone, right? Like, God, you just watch them and grab clips and then you got to, I mean, that's a hard work, man. Like I'm pretty good at organizing like content, but I just can't imagine having 100 hours of video footage and saying, okay, turn this into, you know, 45 interesting minutes of TV with commercial breaks.
Well, and that's the problem, I think, is like, yeah, we could come up with a show, but if you don't have the best editor on the planet, like, you know, it's going to look like shit. And I'm right there with you. Like, even if you say, okay, like I remember on the podcast, they had like 8 hours worth of an interview. Okay, well, how do you par that down? Figure you've got maybe 5 interviews of 6 to 8 hours each, and then you got to tell a story around that. Like, There is a lot of stories to tell. We still, as of today, don't know what will happen with the Vince stuff, but like, I feel like there was, you know, 2, 3, 4 kind of books, documentaries, like on Vince and, you know, whether we were going to get it, you know, Macho up top now. Yep. Oh, just great. The axe handle. who knows what we're actually going to get.
He used to love his axe. I don't know why, just his axe handles.
He's so good. He got the whole crowd to stand up.
On, you know, to the outside.
Hopefully, you know, we'll get, you know, the true stories out of some of that one day, but who knows? Yep. You had Hulk Hogan up earlier. You got him, you know, Macho in the ring now with DiBiase at this point.
I mean, look how fast Macho was. He was just such a great athlete.
Yep. DiBiase had to like catch up to him when he went for the fall there. Oh, nice little clothesline. Here comes Andre. Weird seeing Andre step through the middle rope.
Andre's actually moving around.
He's moving pretty good here. Yep. He absolutely.
I mean, this would have been after WrestleMania 4.
Yep.
He still had, I mean, he wrestled at WrestleMania 6. So he's still wrestling for another two plus years.
After. Yeah. 4 would have been the show just before this, cause we weren't still doing monthly on this one. And then yeah, Survivor Series coming after this one. So we were still only in the big 4 on this. So
man, Andre the Giant's one of like probably 5 things in this world that Vince McMahon will get choked up about.
Well, him, Taker, like, yeah, like, you know, they did. He did. We saw it in the last ride or what was that? I almost said MJ's 30 for 30. But yeah. So you got him now just kind of working Macho in the corner. There's a tag, DiBiase back in. Yep.
DiBiase, apparently, you know, and I've never seen any of it, but he did some really good stuff before even getting to WWF. Yeah, like I think he had some great feuds in like Texas and like that, you know, that part of the country. But I again haven't seen any of it. I'm sure there's some grainy stuff on YouTube.
So I'm looking up. He actually did some time. I'm looking real quick. Of course, Mid-South. He did.
Mid-South. Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
He was early in the 1979 is actually he had a run in WWF. Very short. He lost to North American champ Pat Patterson, who unified the title. Yep. He was Hogan's opponent in Hogan's first Madison Square Garden match. A nice little piece of trivia for you. There you go. Did some time with NWA. He was in All Japan actually quite a bit in 83 to 87. Yep. Stan Hansen. I see his name in there a little bit too. Yeah. And so this match, like I said, was summer of 88. He made his debut May 15th, 1987. It was a house show. And so there you go.
I'm bummed that Hulk Hogan didn't get a better send off, like a final match. I mean, isn't that crazy to think about that? Like, yep. Think about all the guys that have had a,
oh boy.
I gotta get some sound for this. Please.
You got, Hogan went down, or excuse me, Andre took him down.
Andre's fouled it out. What's he doing up there? He's not the legal man in. The sleeper.
Big boot there. Every single person is on their feet. Hogan trying to get DiBiase with the sleeper, but Andre's back up on his feet. Oh, there he is. Yep. Big headbutt there. Kind of tossing Hogan to the outside.
What I was saying is it's just like a bummer that like Hogan didn't have a better send-off. I mean, like, you know, but a lot of guys have it. You know, it's just you take it for granted because it's like there are some decent send-offs, you know, like the Flair WrestleMania weekend. You know, but not everyone does. Like Hogan's final match was in TNA and a 6-man at a house show overseas. Yeah. Like it's just crazy. So now this is a famous moment.
The moment. Yep, here we go. So Elizabeth up on the rope here. Or up on the ring. Keenan and Virgil up there as well too. Hogan and Macho are on the far side of the ring. Can't even see him. They've been dumped outside. But yep, he has Jesse Ventura stopped the count. Woo!
She took off her skirt to middle of those two. Elizabeth has shot everybody. Look at Jesse. He doesn't know what to do.
Took off her skirt, standing there now in her bikini bottoms. Yep.
Everybody's on their feet, Gorilla. Oh, yes, that one is
Everyone distracted. Oh my God. Oh, and then we got the shot of the powers.
Elizabeth.
This is unreal.
I can't believe it. Just taking it over here.
Look at this.
Macho up top sneaking in.
Savage. There's the joint.
Andre getting dumped out there. What a great fucking story. It's the line there.
Bombs away.
Bombs away, perhaps.
Come on, Macho.
Oh, perfect. Oh, just and a big leg drop.
Jesse, right there. 1, 2. Oh,
the slow count or no count there, but Macho slamming his hand down for the three.
Look at that crowd. I mean, imagine them talking about that. Hey, let's create a dress that Liz can like rip off in the middle of a match. Oh, now yep. Savage is gonna stop at Hogan.
What no one else knew what to do, she knew what to do.
Jeff, think about that. This is August, and these two wouldn't wrestle until 9 months later. No, yeah. Sorry, seven months later.
Yeah.
It's crazy to think about. All right, let's Good get stuff. Into the aftermath.
Oh, it's time for the aftermath.
What'd you think?
So good.
Really good. Huh?
So good. Like
better than I'll tell you two things. First of all, think about this. Okay. Like you still have it up on your screen. I still have it up on my screen. This is 1988. I mean, look at the lighting. Look at like how, I mean, this looks like it's in like high D or high def. It's not bad. I mean, their production values, you don't understand how good this was. Like NWA at this point, it was like a smoke-filled gymnasium. We watched a few weeks ago, we watched an ECW match from 6 years after this that looked like absolute shit. Mm-hmm. You just don't realize how good their production was. But like look at this shot right now. I mean, this looks like it's on Monday night.
Yep. Yeah.
It's unbelievable.
But and the fans.
This is better than I thought. I just thought the production wasn't going to be great. I thought the match was going to suck. Dude, it was
none of that. Yep.
No, it was a really good match.
Yep. Absolutely.
Great finish. I mean, it's exactly what you wanted to see. You go home happy.
And credit to Elizabeth getting the dub for him. Like she it's all her on this one. So.
It's a shame he had to turn Savage heel though, man.
Yeah. So getting into that a little bit. So you really kind of real quick on this one, you had DiBiase actually beating Randy Savage in the finals of the King of the Ring tournament later, just a couple months after this one. But then you had the storyline of Randy Savage becoming jealous over Hulk Hogan and Miss Elizabeth and, the mega powers kind of peaking and things like that. Oh, man, did you see that? How crazy the fans went trying to grab like the shirt or the dress, whatever it was. But anyways, these guys starting to kind of get into it. Of course, you had the accidental elimination of Savage Royal Rumble in 89, knocking him over the top rope. And so, of course, the culminating in the classic WrestleMania 5 match with Hogan winning the title and pinning Savage. So, just absolutely classic stuff. Go back in the archives, which we are reposting the archives now too. Forgot about that. So make sure to go back and check out some of our OG episodes 1 through 15, you know, every other week.
Yeah.
Yeah. So don't forget about that. Make sure to check it out. So check out the True Payoff archives as we kind of repost that. Check out Manscaped, of course, got to plug them as well too. That Payoff 20% off, free shipping, everything in the store. So, PWI wasn't ranking at this point. Some of these magazines weren't even a thing. The Observer newsletter doesn't go back that far. I had a couple fun write-ups here though that I did find.
I think the Observer might have existed, but they don't have the copies.
It's just not there. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Because he had some from 88, but like August 1st, 88, February 15th, 88, February 1st, 88. That's it. Yep. I'm guessing they just didn't have.
It's lost the time. Yep.
Or no, he has not a physical copy. Can't find one.
It's somewhere in one of Meltzer's stacks.
It's probably sitting in his office.
Right. Yeah. It's probably just sitting in a random. Yeah. So Fighting Spirit magazine, called The Ultimate Warrior's Win Over the Honky Tonk Man genuinely captivating. And he said the match between the Bulldogs and the Rougeaus was an exciting battle. In contrast, he had a negative reaction to the main event match, citing it as predictably one-dimensional and abysmal. So 411 Mania on this one said overall, he rated the event a 4.5 out of 10 and stated without Warrior's big win and Elizabeth's surprise finish, this is a totally forgettable show. This even crazy. So the Torch does have a tiny little write up here, which Tom can see the kind of the screenshot I took of this. It's on red paper for some reason. So we're just going to go with it. This says SummerSlam 88 saw Hulk Hogan and Randy Savage defeat Ted DiBiase and Andre the Giant with nothing big happening with special referee Jesse Ventura. Also, the Ultimate Warrior defeated the Honky Tonk Man for the Intercontinental title. And then ranking this one predating Stars, giving it a B+. So, Tom, I don't know. Maybe if we want to go with the spirit of this, you want to give this a letter ranking? Maybe this time we never do that, and so maybe we'll mix it up with our scores. And
No. We need for the archives. We need a 1 to 10 for everything.
We're gonna go 1 to 10. All right, that's okay.
We are.
So, what are you feeling on this one then?
Man, I got this at an 8. I mean, storyline standpoint, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think the match was like remarkable or anything to happen. I mean, it was a little paint by the numbers. Hey, the baby faces won, 15-minute match. But, dude, I mean, look who's in it. Look at the storyline. You're this is part of that mega power story arc that was as good as anything that's ever been done in the history of wrestling. So, Yeah, this portion of it, it's an 8. It's fun. It's cool to watch it. You're entertained. I liked it. What about you?
I'm right there with you at an 8. Okay. I think that it's hard to not get excited about this one. You know, just kind of watching, it was very much a product of the time. Like you said, like you knew what was going to happen more than likely, but also like there was nothing wrong with that. And so I thought it was just fun to watch. Like, we say it from time to time, would I go back and maybe search this one out? Maybe not, but I wouldn't avoid it. It is one that I would definitely want to kind of check out and, let people know about, because it was a ton of fun. Like that, there's, if you want just a perfect encapsulation of what wrestling was at this time, this is this match.
Good way of putting it. This was fun, man. I liked it.
All right.
You did well, kid.
Thank you. Hey, all right. So we got a little bit more SummerSlam next week. We got the women next week. And so this should be an exciting one.
So is next week a rib? Because the episode drops on my birthday. Is this just to fuck with me?
Hey, man, like we got two people we've never talked about. Like, you know what? I wanted us to cover something a little different. And so this is what you get. And so we've got Shawn Michaels lined up, matches lined up for you. We got a couple weeks here, maybe before we see another one. But hey, I'm excited about this one. The week after that, we're going to WCW, and then we got some more SummerSlam after that. And so we'll see what happens here. So we're going to get excited no matter what we're talking about.
Bull Nakano and Alondra Blaze coming up next week.
Yes, absolutely.
All right,
send him home happy, my friend.
Oh, fun episode. Love me the Mega Powers. All right. Appreciate everyone listening. We'll see you next week on an all-new episode of The Payoff.